Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep a screaming for more. Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning. Everybody out there listening to the Sip and Chew show, I hope you're inside. I hope you're dry. Hope you're safe. And above
ain't
all else,
fair today, are they?
I hope you're full. I hope you've had breakfast and getting ready, thinking about lunch and dinner tonight. So anyway, it's a moist, very moist morning. I don't know why I'm thinking it's 8, 9 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Something like 11:07. But I hear there is some, what's the bad weather over in Goshen? Just saw that a little while ago. One of our friends of the show, looks like one of the restaurants got hit. The Aztecas down in Goshen looks like it got hit by some strong winds or possible tornado. They said there was tornadoes down there. We don't know anything official yet, but anyway, hopefully they're all okay and nobody's hurt. So that's all. That's what we're concerned about. Yeah, but anyway,
did it come through overnight or this morning?
It's been pushing through all morning. We got some more stuff, stuff.
So they probably, if anyone was there, it would have just been a skeleton crew.
Yeah, we got a tornado watch going on right now. So
yeah,
South Baldwin County.
A skeleton watch here at Halloween time.
I miss you.
Well, you know, I have my annual Halloween episode of Delta Safari dropping tomorrow night at 10 o'clock.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. You may be familiar with this story.
What's that?
The Boyington Oak.
The Boyington. That sounds familiar.
That's the haunted oak tree at Church Street Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you're interested, it'll be dropping tomorrow. You know, look on Facebook, look on the YouTube.
You can't even give a bigger teaser than that. I'm interested.
Well, supposedly the tree is haunted with the spirit of the man buried beneath it.
Why would you bury a man beneath a tree?
It wasn't a tree then. It just buried a man who said he was wrongly convicted.
Oh.
And he prophesied that an oak tree would grow out of his gravesite to prove he was innocent.
A little late then, isn't it? Interesting, though.
Yeah.
Folks, if you haven't heard of Stu's Delta Safari, you ought to look it up. How can they find it, Stu?
At Delta Safari Show on Facebook, YouTube, or TikTok.
A lot of interesting history there. Yeah. The things I didn't even know.
Yeah, the TikTok is a little different from the YouTube because the format's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same information, but TikTok's a narrower image like you would look at on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Delta Safari stuff, more that you put up on your TV and watch.
Oh, okay.
And then there are shorts on YouTube. Those go the same way, but I can get away with a 9-minute video on TikTok in the shorts format that I can't do on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I just dropped one on TikTok last week. I think is 11 minutes long, 9 minutes long.
Oh, cool. They are very interesting to watch and to listen to.
Have you ever done one on the Harry Houdini thing, or is it just strictly in the area?
Just in the area. Okay. Yeah.
Because this is, I think, the 100th anniversary of Harry Houdini.
I was a big fan of Harry Houdini. Naturally, I wasn't around then. Mike was. He told me about him. So he used to drink together.
Yeah. I was there when he was born.
But
get me confused with Charlie.
Charlie wouldn't have been drinking with Harry Houdini. Mike would have been. And I remember Paul Michael Glazer, mm-hmm. who was Starsky from Starsky and Hutch,
yeah.
starred as Harry Houdini in a made-for-TV movie about his life. Very good movie. And
Tony Curtis was the first movie I ever saw. He played Harry Houdini.
Yeah.
It was all black and white back then. And
heck, did it have sound?
Wow. Yeah.
Phil?
Phil chuckled at that one, y'all.
You could hear Phil back there laughing.
Hear him from the Phil cave.
But no, it's black and white. And it was Tony Curtis. And
great actor.
Yes. And, you know, he came to town for a movie, and he was hanging out in Fairhope. And you could see him. He always wore a black velvet coat or jacket. Always. In his later years, and I guess he looked fly in it.
Yeah, I guess my mom always thought that was the most handsome movie star was Tony Curtis, and my dad was just like, I don't really get it. He's awfully pretty, and my mom's like, I guess that's what I like about him. Then she saw Jamie Lee Curtis, and my dad and I were like, wow, and she goes, Tony Curtis doesn't look good as a man. She looks just like Tony Curtis in the face. I'm like, oh. I didn't realize she had a face.
I get it.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce is the only one that I ever saw as I never seen the one you guys are talking about. I must be a young pup.
Yeah.
Very young.
But well, I know Adrian Bode did Houdini in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't seem to fit. I don't know. Adrian Bode's a great actor.
BBC did a really good series, and they only did one season of it, and it was called Houdini and Doyle, where Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle team up to solve mysteries together.
That'd be interesting.
It was really good, and Houdini is always naysaying anything to do with the occult.
Right.
Because he was known for busting mediums and exposing frauds and stuff like that. Got a lot of death threats for it.
Mm.
But and then Doyle was just eager to, and basically, you know, it was the FBI show, We Are Not Alone, whatever, where the truth is out there. What was that thing? Fox and Mulder.
Oh, Fox,
the Fox and Mulder files. X-Files.
I knew you were going to come up with that.
Yeah, it was so one of them was a believer in the supernatural and the other one was a skeptic. Mm. And then they had a female officer with Scotland Yard that the guys at Scotland Yard were like, I really don't take a magician and a writer seriously as a detective. This girl wants to prove she's a real cop. Let her go with him. So she's overcoming the prejudices of the time against women. Her character is the first. Outstanding series. Loved it.
Huh. I like a good mystery.
Yeah. They only did one season of it. It's very good.
Is there any good food dishes for, you know, that disappear or don't disappear? No. that disappear faster than others, that kind of thing for Halloween?
Ghost peppers.
Ghost peppers. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That raises a question. I have wondered this for a while. Why do they call it a ghost pepper?
They came up with a name. Those are all like the Carolina Reaper, the ghost pepper. Those are invented in a laboratory. They're not invented in nature.
What's the story behind the name? Is it because
But I'll look it up in the commercial break if you want.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious.
Yeah, but they just chose a name. It's just like the Carolina Reaper
come back and
doesn't reap, and it's not from Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So they just come up with names that sound cool.
Okay. Because I was just wondering if the taste kind of left a haunting or disappeared and came back.
No, taste of a ghost pepper is a lot like eating a burnt tennis shoe. I've never tasted a worse tasting plant, and then it attacks you.
How
when it's
often
done.
Have you had a burnt tennis shoe?
I've had.
I just thought about that last week. Yeah. Actually,
is it a burnt tennis shoe or a blackened tennis shoe? Which
one? Well, blackened would involve a lot of spices and some clarified butter.
Oh my gosh. little asphalt.
I did the little thing on the history of black and redfish, and one of the commenters said originally they didn't use any clarified butter. They're just straight into the pan. And I said, but they probably wanted to retain their dishwashers because that would be horrible to scrape off a pan.
So there's a difference between butter and clarified butter?
Yes. Butter is made up of two things, an oil and milk solids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put butter over low heat, it will, when it separates, all of the milk solids will come to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And what's left is called clarified butter, or in India they call it ghee, G-H-E-E.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the oil without the milk solids in it. And that raises the smoke point of the butter so that it won't burn, it won't smoke as much.
Thank you for clarifying that.
251-343-0106. What you doing for Halloween, y'all? Tell us.
They can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow?
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Man, there's, you know, we've had a lot of stuff going on these last couple weekends. Yesterday was the Alberta Sausage Festival, and I saw that Aaron and them, I forgot what was, 6,500 pounds of sausage they made. For the
Aaron Childress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of sausage.
Yeah. Steve had asked where ghost pepper gets its name, and I had said that it was one of those, you know, laboratory-created peppers to make it the hottest, and I was incorrect on that. And the Carolina Reaper's like that, and other ones are. This was a pepper that really wasn't discovered until, like, the 1990s, outside of where it comes from, which is a region of Southeast Asia called Assam. The ghost pepper originates from Northeast India, particularly the states of Assam, Nagaland, and Manipur. Now, Naga, it was how it was first introduced to the U.S. market, was a Naga chili. And it was very popular in London pudding in curries. Here it says where it has, you know, in those regions it has been cultivated for centuries. I don't know how many centuries because, not 1,000, certainly, because
that was part of Persia.
They would have had no chilies in Southeast Asia until after Columbus got back from the New World.
Okay.
Because they didn't grow anywhere but South America and Central America prior to that. It is known as Bahut Jolakia, which is an Assamese name that translates into ghost pepper. Where it became famous is in 2007, Guinness Book of World Records named it the hottest chili in the world over the habanero, which is a native chili here. So it's not a natural chili because chilies didn't exist in Southeast Asia until Columbus brought them there.
Okay.
And it wasn't a chili that existed when Columbus started bringing chilies from the New World.
So crust. Kind of a hybrid?
Yeah. It's going to be the result of cross-pollinization with other chilies. There's a Thai bird chili that's extremely hot, and it is tiny.
It says here, the name ghost likely refers to the pepper's intense lingering heat that can sneak up on you.
Yeah. Well, like the habanero.
Really?
The habanero's heat will not hit you for about 30 seconds to a minute. And a lot of people that try it for the first time, they're like, oh, this isn't that bad. No. Wait for it.
Yeah.
And then once it kicks in, they're like, water, water, water. I happened to a sous chef of mine who was trying it, and he was like, oh, I ain't handle all that, chef. And the lady, we were at a Central American restaurant, and he put a big old dot on a chip, and she goes, no. He goes, yeah, right. Took a bite, and he goes, this ain't bad, y'all. I don't see what y'all are getting. Oh. Like,
yeah. I got to go. Yeah. It's kind of like slow gin, Mike.
Mike's sitting here watching cat videos while we're talking about it.
Yeah, slow gin. I've had my share of incidents with the slow gin in the past.
Tastes like a really good cough syrup.
We used to put it in what they call the slow gin fizz.
Yeah.
Sprite. And we had those in my youth. And just back in 80, remember the Fiero from Pontiac?
Yeah, almost bought one.
It was a white and black. And the guy and I were doing clubs back in the day when I first started, before getting into radio. Him and I tore into those. We had about six or seven of those. Oh, these are great! By about 1 o'clock, you know, the sides of the Fiero turned purple. They were just
from the window down.
Yeah, it was. It was a really interesting paint job. He couldn't get out of that paint, that plastic.
Well, there are people that are into the heat of chilies that are really into it. And the reason for
it
is because, well, I don't think we could do it on the level that these people are doing, because they're like eating whole ghost peppers.
Oh.
Two or three at a time. And what it is their resistance has gotten so high that they get to experience the release of endorphins that the body puts out to calm you down from that. But the heat no longer bothers them. They're doing it just for the endorphin rush, and which endorphin is one of the chemicals that psychotropic. Like like dopamine that psychotropics trigger that makes it addictive. You're not actually addicted to the drug. You're addicted to the hormone.
The feeling.
Now, I will tell you a wine that would work well with all that, all those peppers.
Gewürztraminer?
Yep.
What is
absolutely
it?
Absolutely. Gewürztraminer. And
what would it help to cool it down?
Well, what it does, it enhances the flavor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but ghost chilies taste terrible.
Why would you enhance the heat?
Yeah, you wouldn't enhance the heat.
No, the flavor and the heat are not the same thing.
It enhances the flavor.
Ah.
Gewürztraminer. And so does Grüner Veltliner. Same thing.
Yeah.
Austrian. German.
German. Okay.
They
speak Deutsch.
they will work well with it. And here's another one, a dry Riesling. A dry Riesling will let that flavor come through.
Mm-hmm. But not the heat. Okay.
Not the heat. You know, the heat's going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But you want to pick up the flavors of the seasoning spices. Mm-hmm. That's why Gewürztraminer, and you'll hear more about it as Thanksgiving and holidays get here, I'll be talking more about those wines that enhance the holiday flavors. Because I think we use more seasonings and spices during Thanksgiving to Christmas than we do any other time of year.
No, we don't.
Huh? No?
No. With crawfish bowls, are you kidding me?
That's different.
Yeah. We use different spices in the holidays. We use more English-friendly sage, stuff like that.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. But we use way more spices in our summer cooking than we do. We just use different ones.
Yeah.
There's not as many chilies and stuff like that.
My question is, we keep talking, going back to this, separating heat and flavors. How do you know the difference or what's causing that, I guess?
What causes the heat from a chili is capsaicin, which is what goes into pepper sprays.
Okay.
The pepper balls that cops use.
Yeah.
You can get capsaicin in capsule form, and it blows out the plaque and tartar from your arteries.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good for cleaning your arteries up. It's still got to come out the other end, though. Be prepared.
You got that. There's that.
Now, when you eat chilies,
tell you some Hooters stories, but
that capsaicin bonds with your taste buds, and that's why that heat gets on there and lingers.
Is it like an oil?
It probably like an essential oil.
Okay.
But it actually bonds with your taste buds.
Wow.
Now, there are a lot of things that people put with that to try and cool it off. Anything carbonated, beer, sodas, worst thing you can do. It strengthens that bond,
especially
makes it last
soda.
Longer.
Yeah,
and beer. Beer is the worst thing you can drink if you're eating something.
I went to back in the 80s. You didn't have Alabama and Auburn and whoever playing 24/7 on
as
ESPN.
It should be.
It was
all
just like
games,
every
all
now
games.
And then there'd be an Alabama game on ABC.
Yeah.
Go to a party, a neighborhood party, all men. We're having oysters and shrimp and all that. This guy started, you know, everybody had a few beers in them and everybody started to get brave. He says, if you could take that, let me get this for you. He goes and pulls a mason jar out of the freezer. The lid's about rusted off. So I had to go home. I put one little thing of this hot sauce on this oyster, and I had to go home.
Mm.
It hurts so bad.
So, but like you say, it bonds with
The capsaicin.
Okay, but flavor comes from
everything else.
Okay.
Everything else. The capsaicin generates the heat. The rest of the chili is the flavor.
Yeah.
So capsaicin has no flavor. It just burns.
Just burns.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
To break that bond, the best thing is dairy, like milk.
Yeah.
The sugar combats that. It breaks up that bond. The best sugar for doing that is lactose, which is the natural sugar in cow's milk and mother's milk.
I always heard to eat bread with something hot.
Oh, a little That's basically like the best part of washing your hands for getting clean is the running water. Soap doesn't kill germs. Does right. you no good with that.
Okay.
The heat of the water helps a little, but basically it's grabbing it and pulling it off of you. Well, it's the same thing the bread's doing. It's bonding to that capsaicin, and then you're swallowing it on down.
I got you.
The milk helps put out the fire, too, and you whole milk if you want as much fat and as much sugar in that milk as possible. Heavy cream would probably be fantastic, but I don't know if you can handle many swigs of heavy cream.
I'm going to say.
Before the stomach said, that's too rich.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, the same problem that the chilies are causing. And but, now it's all coming back up.
But that's what I was getting to. When I went home, I got the ice cream out and I got the milk out. And I was trying to put my mouth out.
Yeah.
I was hurting so bad. Yeah. And all I had was one little drop. And
good thing you weren't lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Well, you know, Aaron Sanchez and I'm drawing a blank to the other chef's name all of a sudden. Chris Costantino did a show on Food Network for a while called Chefs Versus City, where they'd go to different cities in America and challenge two local chefs to some kind of food sport, not really cooking. And the first one is they went to New York and they tried the hottest curry in the Caribbean, and they gave them a mango smoothie to wash it down with. The mango is also really good at it.
Wow.
251-343-0106. Mike, what is that?
That's the call and text in line.
Oh, yeah.
So long, so long. Way down on the Mobile Bay. Hey, hey, hey. Way down on the Mobile Bay. So long, so long.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat beignets, too much sugar and donut. I will pay for gumbo. I will
Stu?
Pay for gumbo.
Yes. Would you say we're getting into soup season?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Chili
and gumbo and
yeah,
all this soups. Song gumbo, yeah, all stews soups. And soups like this.
And you know what, Mike would pair with that spicy monkey on your back? Gewürztraminer.
Yeah,
so
goes with everything.
You ever had monkey brains, Mike?
Huh?
You ever had monkey brains?
No, I've seen people. I've had squirrel brains, no monkey brains.
Yeah, I've had pork brains like mixed into scrambled. I have heard it's a delicacy, but I ain't getting monkeys in my backyard, so I'm gonna get to find out.
No.
Well, that would be a horror dish. I went to a I'm serious. I went down to the Disney in the Haunted Mansion, and we had a special event that happened years ago, and they did a similar thing like they did with Indiana Jones, you know, you open up the – and it was Jell-O or a gelatin.
Yeah.
And they put, you know, the monkey open head thing, and so it was interesting. But kind of a thought occurred to me during the break. What is your favorite treat for Halloween?
Candy corn.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get people that hate that. It's delicious. It's just...
You know, if you stack that, it looks like a piece of corn. I didn't know that. I was X days old when they put that out a couple of years ago. Like, what?
Really? I do love candy corn, and I don't get people don't like it. And number two would be the wax witch's harmonica. Remember that, Mike?
Not a fan of that.
Yeah. How about licorice?
I like licorice.
Okay. Now I know
I like anise. It's a good flavor.
I love the little Kit Kats.
I like Chex Mix. I'm a Chex Mix guy, or you know something along. You ever heard of Mummy hot dogs?
No.
You're just gonna wrap them. The hot
is
dog
this a Kansas thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean hot dogs that look like a mummy? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
biscuit dough yeah, or something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or Chris Holt dough.
I have one. I looked up now. This is just for you, Stu.
Uh-oh.
Pumpkin mac and cheese.
No thanks.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. People, I love
creamy
pumpkin.
Pumpkin cheese sauce. Toasted breadcrumb topping, crispy sage.
Yeah.
No?
It could be okay. I could, with the sage and no added sugar, just keeping it savory.
Yeah.
I could see okay. I used to do a pumpkin curry soup at Mars Hill Cafe that
nice and spicy.
Was vegan. Not intentionally, but when I realized, hey, I could do this vegan and it not change anything, why wouldn't I? And I just used veggie stock instead of chicken stock. Everything else is plant-based. It's coconut milk, curry, and pumpkin puree.
You know, Stu mentioned he liked candy corn.
Yes.
Guess what wine pairs well with candy corn?
Gewürztraminer?
Really?
No, Chardonnay.
Chardonnay.
A steel cast Chardonnay or an oaky Chardonnay?
I would think that Mike would be a big guy for, you know, a caramel apple martini during the holiday.
I would go for that.
It ain't a martini if it's got color in it.
I just like martini.
Martini is not a martini.
I like a dry. Like a dry.
Yeah.
With olives.
A martini either has gin or vodka and vermouth.
You're not going to go down that adult path and adventure.
Yeah, right? that's people drinking fruity.
Like a margarita.
Yeah, drinks and wanting to pretend like they're sophisticated and drinking a martini.
All right.
Okay.
Who likes Snickers here?
Oh, I love Snickers.
All right.
Oh, have you tried the pecan pie? The pecan Snickers?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Tastes like chocolate covered pecan pie.
Gruner Veltliner that I was mentioning earlier goes with Snickers.
Now, that's a wine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Austrian. Kit Kat. Champagne. Champagne.
How about chocolate-covered cherries? I know we're not in that season yet.
That's not Halloween candy.
That's Christmas.
Crunch Bar is Prosecco.
Like Starburst.
Yeah. Nestle's Crunch Bar. Starburst or Pinot Grigio.
About a Rice Krispie bar or a caramel pumpkin
I'm
spice.
I'm getting there.
I'm sorry. I'm rushing.
Twizzlers. I'm not a Twizzler fan, but.
It's red licorice.
Riesling goes with that. Heath Bar. I do like
that's
it.
It's a good
every
one.
Now and then.
Toffee's wonderful
stout
stuff.
Beer or stout.
Yeah, absolutely.
David Hubble is you know, on the same page with me with Mummy Dogs. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
M&M's Espresso Martini.
It's not a martini. Okay. It's just a cocktail in a man's glass.
I could do this. This is the next two I could really do. Butterfinger, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Butterfinger's nice now and then.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Pinot Noir.
That's probably the king of Halloween candy.
There you go.
I was going to say, you wonder whatever happened to candy corn popcorn balls, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, people started putting drugs and poison in them.
Yeah.
Kettle Corn Amber Ale.
There you go. Okay,
kettle corn is horrible.
Kettle Corn would be good for a candy, for a popcorn
and
bowl.
And Twix, a hard cider.
Ooh.
How about those things?
Hard cider. What's the difference between a soft cider? Is there a such thing as a soft cider?
Yeah, regular apple cider has no alcohol in it. What makes it hard is alcohol. It's just like a hard sauce on a dessert indicates that it has liquor in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what hard means.
Right.
It's not like you got to crack it open or something. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It means the addition of spirits.
Yeah.
I've said this before. My favorite Christmas thing in the country is in Franklin, Tennessee. It's called a Dickens of a Christmas, and they shut down this beautiful downtown that they have. It's a traditional old square, you know, like you envision.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned the entire thing into 1880s London.
Hmm.
Every street you walk down, there's characters from A Christmas Carol coming through there, and I got to try chestnuts roasted over an open fire, and I bought a plum pudding, which is a traditional English Christmas dessert, and it is not pudding at, like, you know, eat the pudding.
Yeah,
you know, it's a true pudding, like bread pudding.
Yeah,
and it's essentially what it is. It's a type of bread pudding. With plums mixed into it, and they did it cooked it in a terracotta planter, so it had the shape of that pot.
Oh.
And then you made a hard sauce to go with it, and it being English, was usually brandy or something like that. Me being from the Gulf Coast, I made a traditional New Orleans hard sauce for it with bourbon, sugar, and butter. Man, that was good.
I bet.
The spices in that plum cake.
And the bourbon is,
If you've ever had fruit cake, most of us have.
Sadly.
The spices that are in fruit cake are the same ones that go in plum pudding. So there's a lot of nutmeg in there.
Yeah.
And like that. Not a little bit of cinnamon. Way more nutmeg. But the way to eat fruit cake is it's not a meal. It's a cocktail. The fruit cake should be hot, fresh out of the oven, and then you soak it with whiskey.
Okay.
That is the way fruitcake is supposed to be.
Best thing that ever happened.
If you ever have it like that.
It's just a good doorstop.
My dad used to love fruitcake, And we couldn't understand why. And then when I figured out what he was doing when the kids weren't around, I was like, oh, now if you ever try a fruitcake like that, you'll love it. Get one of those cheap ones. Microwave it for a minute and pour some Jack Daniels on it.
Hmm. Fantastic. I'm going to tell you, speaking for Three Georges, the Nut House, they have a dang good fruitcake. So get that locally, folks.
And my grandmother used to make Japanese fruitcake, which is nothing like fruit. It basically all the fruits that go in a fruitcake, mm-hmm. but in a regular cake with coconut icing.
Johnny Carson talked about it.
Oh, my gosh. Such as. It's
all the fruit that's in it's cherries.
Okay.
And they're either dyed bright red or dyed bright green.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're maraschino cherries.
Johnny Carson always had this joke he did every Thanksgiving time about fruit and Christmas about fruitcakes. And he said, really, there's only one original fruitcake out there, and it keeps getting mailed around the world.
Exactly.
And so.
I think it's the same thing with candy corn. I think they have the same candy corns from 1940 or something.
When I was in Nashville going to Belmont College, one of my four part-time jobs that I worked in that year, mm-hmm. all at the same time, was working at a German bakery.
Ooh.
And I would get off work at 7 a.m. from my regular job, which was third shift campus police mm-hmm. officer, mm-hmm. And go to the bakery and work till 1 o'clock. And then I would come home and sleep. School was out then, mm-hmm. you know, during this time, so mm-hmm. it worked out great. And then on my off days, I had to be there at 4 a.m.
Mm.
But regardless what time I got there, we were done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But we had a man who came in who was traditional German, and he said every year he bought 2 5-pound fruitcakes and 1 10-pound fruitcake, and he wanted to be there when they came out of the oven because he was going, oh, okay.
Okay. And we're back.
So I said, Bill, I'd love to visit your island, you and Jeff, but I don't have a passport. And that was the end of it. I have no idea what we were talking. Oh, I was talking about the guy that came in to get the 2 5-pound fruitcakes and the 10-pound fruitcake. And he wanted to be there when they came out of the oven. Because as soon as they came out of the oven, he had 3 bottles of liquor he was pouring onto them. And he wanted it as soon as it came out like that, and he gave those away as gifts every year. He probably paid $50 for them.
Mm.
I mean, a 10-pound fruitcake is huge. Oh, let's go to break. 251-343-0106. Hey, turn around. Don't drown.
Oh, I want a butter and egg man from way out in the west. I get so tired of working all day. I want somebody.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael, we got any birthdays of note that you know of?
Dan Croft of Mama Lou's. Happy birthday, Dan.
The one that I saw was Gabriella Stout, who you don't know. She was one of the ladies that was part of the social networking team that made World Food Championship so big.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I see now she owns a thrift store in South Carolina. Married, beautiful child. But Mike surrounded himself with a team of really savvy social media people, Mike McClure, that started World Food Championship.
Mm-hmm.
They were all really good, really cutting edge, and in their 20s. So their degrees were in social media.
Yeah, understood, yeah.
Yeah, and every one of them looked like they could have starred on a TV show. They were so pretty.
Hmm.
They really were. When Heather and I were dating, we went up to Tennessee for a camp for World Food Chef Ambassadors, and okay. I was Chris Sherrill was there, and I was selected to be on it. We went up there, and she had handled social media for Team Alabama in World Food Championship, so she needed to be there too. So we took a little weekend to Cookeville, Tennessee, and great event there. Learned a whole lot about social media things because one of the things that makes World Food Championship work is they're great at social media, and they teach the chefs that compete to do it because that builds the buzz, and it doesn't cost any money. That's what social media is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be arguing about politics or religion or any of that crap. It's supposed to, especially Twitter, was devised so that people could network. And then we let people with two-digit IQs onto it, and now it becomes all about politics and
stupid stuff. Well, it's like LinkedIn. LinkedIn was designed for interaction between business people. You know,
right.
And to network. And the whole keyword is network.
Yeah, and that's what Twitter, and that was how I made my contacts at Food Network. Simon Majumdar and I became friends on Twitter and a lot of other people. That was how I got my name out there when I was doing the food blogging and stuff. Yeah. And that's how Food Network picked up on me and had me start doing interviews for them for years on Food Network Star and other shows. I got exit interviews. Every Sunday, a contestant was eliminated from Food Network Star. Every Monday, there was a press conference call where 10 or 15 bloggers got to go on with the person eliminated and ask them questions. And I was in that team of bloggers who went on there. And I made a lot of connections that way, got a lot of the inside stuff. And that is what the true purpose of social media is.
Yeah.
Now, especially Twitter. Facebook is more sharing, you know, keeping just up with people. And I understand that one.
Face family.
Like that. And, you know, and the other ones had their target too. But Twitter specifically was for people to network with other people they may not have the opportunity to get into.
You know, every time
and then people started thinking their opinions matter.
Every time a format like that, a social media format turns like that, you can watch the youth go away.
Yep.
Every time.
Yep.
You know, and let's think about this for a moment, and not to get all political or anything of that nature, but the bottom line of social media is to make more friendly connections.
Right.
And to share our
human
experience.
If you're arguing with someone on social media, you should get off of social media for the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay. It is called social media, not anti-social media. But, that does open up avenues out there for, you know, media that is strictly for arguing.
Well, there is that already.
Yeah. yeah.
Was meant to or not.
But, we just mentioned a few, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me, I got three things I want to mention, but two of them are segues and questions I have. Today's National Days, National Pumpkin Day. It's obvious, you know.
Yeah. Time
it's
for pumpkin month. Chili.
It's National Minced Meat Day.
Great pie.
And National Chicken Fried Steak Day. Now,
one chicken fried steak with minced meat on top. That's you, Mike.
Nasty. One question I have. Explain what minced meat is.
Yes, please.
Minced meat is apples and dates, the meat of the fruit, cooked with sugar and spices, a lot of nutmeg, a lot of cinnamon, goes into the minced meat pie, kind of look like cooked, minced up meat.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. There's a version of it called Plowman's Pudding, where there's no pie around it, it's just the goo in the middle that you put on haggis to cover up the flavor of haggis. It makes it easier for, especially for American palates,
to stomach haggis,
which is a pun for those who don't know. It's made by taking entrails and barley and steaming it inside the stomach of a sheep. Traditionally.
Yeah,
now they do it with a plastic bag.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Let's go back to the National Chicken Fried Steak Day. Chicken fried steak. Why do they call it chicken fried steak?
Because it's floured.
You would a chicken.
Yeah. In Texas, you know what they call a chicken breast that's fried with no bone? Chicken fried chicken.
It's true.
It has a bone in it, it's just fried chicken.
Yeah.
But if it's boneless, then it's chicken fried chicken. To let you know that, hey, this is a chicken steak, not the thing. Now, I worked at one place we did chicken fried steak. We used tenderloin for it and hammered it out. But I think traditionally it's sirloin. The best I've ever had was over in Hattiesburg at Chesterfield's. Their chicken fried steak was a New York strip that they ran through the cube steak machine and then fried it. My gosh, that was good.
Yeah, Sonic used to have a chicken fried steak like that. It was real steak.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, very tender. And that's going to be done with the sirloin off the tri-tip, the part that usually gets turned into steak tips.
Now, I like cube steak.
Yeah.
I like cube steak. And if you're coming home and you know you don't have a lot of time to cook, you want to do something quick, cube steak does great in an air fryer as well on the stove. air fryer's less mess, of course, but I do like it better on a stove, though.
Yeah, with less mess, you can progress, and then you don't have as much egress.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, do you do a wine with it, too?
Not when I'm in a hurry when I come home, no.
Nah, he just plugs the wine into his IV and goes at it.
Yeah, gets his little roller, and out the door he goes. Okay.
Did you say you had a third one?
Those were three things.
That was three things?
Oh, that was pumpkin, National Pumpkin Day.
Oh, yeah. I love pumpkin. I really do. I just... The pumpkin spice thing is pumpkin spice,
my car
fabric pumpkin sheets, pumpkin spice, yeah.
Or windshield wiper fluid.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice windshield.
Mm-hmm. Y'all get it fluid. Right. Pumpkin.
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 I have a cousin. He's deceased now, but his nickname was Pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. You ever been short pumpkin chunkin'?
No, I have not.
I'd like to go pumpkin chunking.
I see it every November 1st.
Have you ever seen it, Steve? Yeah, is that a Kansas thing?
Where they have the catapults and stuff
like
that?
Yeah.
I think that's like every November 1st, they do the pumpkin chunking.
Pumpkin chunking.
Pumpkin chunking.
The second P is silent.
Okay.
Just like the T in Montgomery.
P-U-M-P-K-I-N-N. No. Double P.
Yeah, that second P is silent.
But then pumpkin. They take the M and they turn it into an N, and they drop the P and they call it pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Pumpkin chunkin'.
But you know what else?
What?
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local.
Yeah, well, they will, but we thought we'd end the show first.
Well.
I don't hear any music.
He said he got 1 minute. It's actually less than 1 minute now, right?
Yeah. Servers earn your tips.
15 seconds.
Tips earn your servers.
You can't spell sausage without USA.
That's true. I'm wearing a shirt that says that, y'all.
That's right.
Johnsonville dropped this off when I was working in the meat department at Rouse's. Nobody else wanted them. I've got like five of these.
And you didn't share with nobody.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, they're soft. That's why you're keeping them.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, folks.
We already said the other stuff. We said it. Okay, we did the servers and the tipping. What's left out?
Just the provolone.
Provolone?
Provolone, yo.
I forgot the provolone.
At Alice's restaurant, walk right in, it's around the back. Just